What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer, three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers for three seasons now, and we're going on our fourth, but our first with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. Well, guys, we've been talking about the offseason for the last few weeks, free agency, and obviously we have the draft coming up. But before we move on to our draft coverage, I do want to get into what's happened throughout the rest of the AFC West as far as the guys they brought in, either through trades or free agency, and also talk about the guys that they lost. There's some big names lost from the teams in our division and also some big names added, I mean, aka Antonio Brown. So there's a lot that went on in the AFC West. So on today's show, we're going to be getting into a brief overlook of what these teams have done. We're going to start with the Oakland Raiders, who obviously traded for Antonio Brown and signed away Tyrell Williams from the Chargers. And then we're going to get into the Broncos, who obviously traded for Joe Flacco and then cut Case Keenum. And then we'll get into the Chiefs, who won the AFC West last year and had a ton of overhaul on that team. A lot of guys lost and a few guys signed. So let's go ahead and get into it. David, for this show, the Raiders were your beat. So you looked at all the transactions, at least the big ones, for the Oakland Raiders. Why don't you just give us an overview of what the Raiders have done so far in free agency and the offseason in general?
Talking about the Oakland Raiders, we got to start at the top. They have a new general manager who is former NFL Network draft correspondent Mike Mayock. You know, he's make his general manager debut, and he's come right out of the blocks, guns blazing, Daniel. So one of the big moves, as you mentioned before, is he traded for wide receiver Antonio Brown from the Pittsburgh Steelers in exchange for a third and a fifth round pick. And as a part of a contingent of that deal, Antonio Brown wanted more money and the Raiders went ahead and gave it to him. He's on a 3-year, $50.125 million contract, Daniel, with $30.125 million guaranteed. And that is not all. That's just the biggest move of the offseason for the Raiders.
And that's obviously where you have to start when we're talking about the Oakland Raiders, because they brought in a top five receiver in the league and the guy who led the league in touchdown receptions and gave him a fat payday. I actually thought the Raiders got him on a pretty good deal. A third and a fifth round pick for an elite generational receiver is pretty out there. They didn't have to part with any of their three first round picks in the upcoming draft, which I thought they would absolutely throw one of those in there. But the Steelers had no leverage. It makes sense that they were able to get him for less than he's probably worth after Antonio Brown made a mess of things in Pittsburgh. So I definitely like that move for the Raiders. I think that they got a guy to replace Amari Cooper and be far better than him, but they still have to have a quarterback that can get him the ball. He does have some help with Tyrell Williams, which is something Amari Cooper didn't have as much last year, missing Michael Crabtree, who obviously wasn't very good. But John, what did you think of the Antonio Brown trade? Did you think they had a good deal, and what do you expect to see from him in Oakland?
I think it was a steal. I think the Steelers could have got way more for that trade, but they basically settled to get the drama out of there, I'm guessing. But as I mentioned in one of the other shows, Derek Carr is not really known for his throwing the ball deep down the field ability, and Antonio Brown is that deep down the field wide receiver. So even though they traded for him, are they even going to use him the way he's effective, or are they going to try and do the short passes and make him be elusive and make yards after the catch, which is a Tyrell Williams kind of things? I don't know if he's going to get the same kind of production that the Steelers had with him.
It's hard to say he will, because Big Ben is still a pretty good quarterback. I'd say he's better than Derek Carr. So we'll see what kind of dip we see from Antonio Brown. And they did add Tyrell Williams, but they also lost some players, especially on the offensive side of the ball, that could absolutely slow them down this year.
Yeah, no, I mean, the first couple of those moves on the offensive line specifically, Daniel, they released Donald Penn, their starting right tackle from last year. I mean, he was marked with some injuries. but that was still a surprising move. And then they went ahead and traded one of their really good guards, Kelechi Osemele, to the Jets for a fifth-round pick, which kind of was a little surprising for me. But the biggest loss, in my opinion, for the Raiders this offseason, though, is losing tight end Jared Cook to the Saints on a two-year, $15.5 million deal with $8 million guaranteed. I think Jared Cook last year was the Raiders' definitely biggest weapon, most dangerous weapon, and he's gone to go play with Drew Brees in the Big Easy.
And I can't blame him for that. I mean, I would rather play with the Saints than the Raiders, I mean, especially a winning team that was, you know, one bad call really away from the Super Bowl. But I think Jared Cook that year for him was an outlier. I don't think he is that good of a player. But at the same time, he's somewhere in between. He's not as bad as some of his previous years either. I think it is a big loss for them because he was a huge weapon on the offensive side of the ball. And if you paired him with Tyrell Williams and Antonio Brown, that's an offense at a glance that looks dangerous. I don't think he's going to have that kind of production in this with the Saints, who really like to spread the ball around. But Jared Cook was one of their best players. And with that, including that, plus the losses on the offensive line, yes, neither of those guys played very well last year. Kelechi Osemele was really good before last season, and they traded him after kind of one bad lost year. I think that really hurts their offense, even though Tyrell Williams and Antonio Brown greatly helped the offense. It's still not an offense right now, John, before the draft, that particularly scares me.
I would agree with that, but I also saw somewhere that the Donald Penn release was also because he was a locker room hazard from what I was hearing. So
sure.
I think with John Gruden being the coach, that is a move that has to be made if you're the Raiders. But if you don't have the offensive line, and I just brought up how Derek Carr doesn't throw the ball deep as it is, if he doesn't have the offensive line, he's definitely not going to use Antonio Brown the right way. So losing the offensive line is a bigger loss, I would say, than Antonio Brown and Tyrell Williams are a gain. Without offensive line, you don't really have wide receivers to use because you're not even getting time to set your feet, throw a ball, or even not get sacked, or even have your arm hit as you're throwing a ball for an accurate throw. So if they don't address that in the draft at some point, then they did all of this offseason hype for nothing.
Well, they did make one big move on the offensive line, John, and that was signing former Patriots tackle Trent Brown to a four-year, $66 million deal with $36.25 million guaranteed. So they really feel like they're finally going to get a player from New England that's going to come into a new team and produce. So we'll have to see how that move pans out.
I think that's an overrated move, though. I don't think that's a big help. I think he's just a name that was flashy, and once he's in there, he's not going to be worth the money they signed because it's that's a lot of money to give that guy, and you still have to fill other gaps on that team.
Yeah, I think that it was definitely an overpay for Trent Brown. And let's be honest, you have to overpay to get top-of-the-line free agents in the beginning of free agency. You have to overpay, but there's no way in my mind that deal pans out. I mean, think you would have to be one of the top five tackles in the league to really live up to that paycheck. I will just pose one more question to each of you guys. David, I'll start with you. Did the Raiders get better this offseason so far?
Absolutely, without question, they got better. And one move I definitely have to mention before we move on to the next team is that they one of the guys that they brought in that will help them be better is safety LaMarcus Joyner, from the Los Angeles Rams. They brought him in to the tune of 4 years, $41 million. And $21.3 million guarantee. That is a heck of a move to pair him with Carl Joseph. They're going to have a pair of pretty darn good safeties back there. But, yeah, you bring in some improved weapons on the offensive side of the ball. You bring in a couple of playmakers on the defense, and you can't say anything other than the Raiders definitely got better in free agency.
Yeah, I like the LaMarcus Joyner move for them as well. I think it was an overpay. Again, but like I said, that's what you have to do sometimes. John, did the Raiders get better this offseason so far?
I'm going to surprise you, and I don't think they have. If they have, it's slightly. There's a lot of things that need to be done to make the additions that they picked up actually be worthy of what they are getting paid or even what their names are. If you can't get more on the offensive line, then your wide receivers aren't going to be anything. Derek Carr is not going to live up to his contract. And on the defensive side, you signed a guy in Vontaze Burfict who is basically going to get 15-yard penalties all game or going to get kicked out of a game. So you got to make sure you have depth somewhere on that as well. So I don't feel like they haven't gotten that much better.
I think that talent-wise, they absolutely got better. Just on paper, when you look at it, they got better. But when you look at the money they've spent, I don't think they're going to feel that for a couple of seasons, but I absolutely think it's going to come back to bite them in the ass because, yes, they have three first-round picks. They have a ton of draft picks in general, and you need those because while overpaying some of these guys, you have to have guys that can come in on small rookie contracts that can make major contributions. And even with Mike Mayock, a draft analyst, I just don't think that you can feel very confident that those guys are going to be able to draft a team that's going to put this team over the top, at least not right away. So yes, I think they got better, but I still think they're a long way from being good. But I do want to get into the Broncos, who made a big splash move in the offseason already and some free agent signings. So we'll have John going over the Broncos' biggest transactions coming up in the next segment. All right, guys, now it's time to get to the Broncos, who finished third in the AFC West last season and a really bad year. Started getting better once they beat the Chargers in the first game and kind of went on a little winning streak, but then still sputtered out and had to fire Vance Joseph at the end of the season. So, John, the Broncos had a lot of overhaul so far in this offseason. Why don't you break down the biggest moves for us?
Well, the really big move to start with is that they have a new head coach who is Vic Fangio, who was the Bears defensive coordinator, and the Broncos are known for their defense. So the fact that they got a guy who was running the Bears defense really well is now going to have a team with Von Miller on it that is going to absolutely already be hungry to bounce back from that horrible year last year. And then on top of that, they traded only a fourth round pick to get Joe Flacco in to hopefully take over for Case Keenum, because he did not have the year they expected when they gave him a lot of money for a two-year contract. And he was hyped up, but I think everybody else in the NFL knew that that was not going to pan out really well. But Flacco is hopefully their savior, and Fangio and Flacco were actually both on the Ravens, and I think that's why Vic Fangio went for that trade.
I guess the trade makes sense for them. I don't understand what John Elway's fascination is with tall quarterbacks. I mean, Paxton Lynch, Brock Osweiler, and now you have Joe Flacco coming in there. It's kind of weird to me that he thinks tall quarterbacks are just really good for some reason. I would happen to disagree with him, at least with the guys that he's been able to bring in. But Joe Flacco, to me, that was such a lukewarm trade, in my opinion. I think he's far from the answer there. I wouldn't be surprised if they still drafted a quarterback in this year's class. I mean, maybe a change of scenery will help him, David, but when I saw that, it didn't exactly strike fear in my heart.
No, not at all. I mean, when they brought in Joe Flacco on the trade with the Ravens, I was just like, yeah, that's a typical John Elway move. The guy just is funny. As brilliant of a quarterback as he was, he has no clue on how to bring a quarterback in other than Peyton Manning. He's just made bad decision after bad decision after bad decision. And I think this move is just going to end up benefiting the Chargers, especially their defensive backs, in the long run.
Yeah, and John, the one thing we didn't have you talk about was the people who left the Broncos aren't currently signed with them. We know there are still some free agents that haven't made decisions. But who did the Broncos lose this offseason?
The Broncos lost Bradley Roby to the Texans on a one-year, $10 million deal. But on the flip side of that, they signed the Texans' Kareem Jackson for 3 years, $33 million. They also lost their safety, Darian Stewart, who accounted for 60 tackles and 2 interceptions last year. And he is still a free agent as we speak. They also re-signed a guy that I wanted the Chargers to get, which was Zach Kerr, who would have been a cheap, run-stuffing defensive lineman. They got him on a 2-year deal. I wish the Chargers would have got him, but they got him back. And the fact that they got rid of their head coach after two seasons, kind of wondering if all these guys that they're signing in right now are going to have any chemistry. With some of these additions so far, I still have one more to go over, which I think is a big addition for them. Do you think that these guys that they're signing are even going to be any chemistry between them with this new head coach?
It's hard to tell because Vic Fangio is a guy who's been around forever and never got a head coaching job. So I was a little surprised by that move. Obviously, he was the defensive coordinator for probably the best defense in the league, top two at least, if you put the Ravens up there. It's going to be hard, but I think if there was a guy who could come in and coach that specific team, I don't hate that fit because you have a guy who's going to utilize that defense and knows how to put talented pieces on a defense together. So as far as that goes, you never know with first-year head coaches that it's a very up-and-down history for them. Usually it doesn't go over well. They're in kind of a transition, I would say. They're not really rebuilding. They're not in a total rebuild. But I think that's a very hard situation to go in and save, especially not knowing if you have a quarterback that's really worth as much money as he's making.
And one of those guys that they signed is Mike Munchak, who's the offensive line coach. And to help him out, they signed Juwan James from the Dolphins on a 4-year contract that was worth up to $52 million.
Yeah, I love the move of Mike Munchak. I would take him as the Chargers offensive line coach in a heartbeat. I don't think he was a good head coach for the Titans, but I do think with guys like that, those guys are always better off when they can get their hands on one specific position and really just teach those guys and coach those guys into better players. I think Mike Munchak does that. And the Juwan James, I think they overpaid, but again, with that offensive line, I think Garrett Bowles has potential on the left side. Now you shore up the right side. That offensive line has been terrible. So that's a step in the right direction. I definitely think it's an overpay. David, what did you think in general of the Broncos' moves? We'll go back to the question we had in the first segment. Do you think the Denver Broncos got better so far this offseason?
Honestly, I'm super lukewarm about their entire offseason. I really only like one of the moves, and that was bringing in Kareem Jackson from the Houston Texans. I think Kareem Jackson is a hell of a cornerback, and he definitely makes that position better. But as an overall just kind of picture, I really don't think that they got too much better at all.
For me, this is the scenario that scares me is look at Joe Flacco's career. I mean, he's the type of quarterback. He's not totally Trent Dilfer as far as having a team defense lead him to a championship. But let's be honest, those Ravens defenses were very good, and the Ravens defense is pretty much very good every season. And he still wasn't really able in the past few years to do anything with that team and lost his job to a guy who, yes, they spent a first-round pick on, but couldn't throw the ball basically at all and went almost an entire game against the Chargers without completing a pass. I don't forget that either. But, John, I think the Broncos might have gotten mildly better, but the thing that scares me is just, you know, Joe Flacco does enough, and then that defense is totally dominant.
I think they got way better defensive-wise. Now they have a head coach who probably has a lot more of an idea of what to do defensive-wise to bring this team back, because their strength is definitely on this defense. When you have Chris Harris Jr., Kareem Jackson, Bradley Chubb, Zach Kerr, Derek Wolfe, Von Miller, that right there alone is a dominating defense. And when you have a head coach that knows how to use all that, it don't matter what your offense does, you're going to be in the game and have a chance at the end. All they got to do is figure out how to get Flacco to work and maybe get some weapons around him. And they could be at least a decent team. But offensive-wise, I don't think they got that much better, but they still have the draft.
They do have the draft. And you saw what they were able to do last year in the draft and after the draft when they signed Philip Lindsay as an undrafted free agent. And he went on to be a huge deal. And he had one of the best seasons of any rookie running back. So they definitely could get better, but that's what I'm afraid of. That's why they scare me more than the Raiders, because that defense has always given Phillip Rivers fits. And now they have Vic Fangio. And that just seems like a match made in heaven for a guy like that to get his hands on a defense that has that much talent. But we still have to talk about the number one team in the AFC West last year, and that is the Chiefs. So let's get into the Chiefs offseason transactions so far, coming up right after this. All right, guys, time for the last segment of the day, and that's us talking about the Chiefs and what they've been able to do this offseason so far. There's going to be a lot of names that you guys know on this list of people that they let go, and as well as the people they have brought in. So let's start with the guys they brought in. The biggest signing for the Chiefs so far this year has to be Tyrann Mathieu. We didn't know that they were going to release Eric Berry when they signed him, and you could only think of, you know, how dominant of a duo that could be if Eric Berry could be healthy. But they signed Tyrann Mathieu for a three-year, $42 million deal, which seems like a lot until you look at Landon Collins' $80-plus million contract. That was a big move for the Chiefs, for a team, guys, let's be frank, had one of the worst defenses in the league last season. And a couple other guys that they were able to sign were Alex Okafor of the Saints, the defensive end slash outside linebacker, Bashaud Breeland, corner from the last year, from the Packers last season, Carlos Hyde, and then linebacker Damian Wilson. John, when I tell you those names, which one stands out to you?
I'd have to say Alex Okafor, just because of the guys that you're going to mention later that they've lost. It was big for them to get someone on the defensive line because that's their heart and soul, basically, of that defense. The fact that they have another guy to replace the already big-name guys they got rid of is huge in my mind.
Yeah, I think Tyrann Mathieu is the biggest name. I think Alex Okafor was a big get for them, even though he's not somebody who's been particularly good at rushing the passer, which is what they lost in the guys I will talk about, and Justin Houston and Dee Ford. But he is a solid player on the outside. He's better against the run than he is the pass. And it just seems like they're going for something different now. They had a bunch of guys that had a ton of sacks last season, and that still led to one of the worst defenses in the league. But David, what do you think about those names and the guys that the Chiefs have brought in so far this offseason?
So, I mean, I think, you know, you have to start at the top and, you know, go with Tyrann Mathieu. I mean, the Honey Badger is a huge move. I mean, you bring in a guy who has that kind of tenacity and, you know, that type of skill level. I mean, he's obviously, I think they brought him in to be the heir apparent to Eric Berry. And, you know, kudos to Eric Berry for having a, you know, tremendous career. And hopefully he lands on his feet, you know, no matter what he ends up doing. But, you know, the Honey Badger is a big move. And I mean, he's a guy that strikes fear in opposing offenses. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see what he's going to be able to come up with his first year as a Chief.
I'm honestly not that worried about Tyrann Mathieu. Honestly, I don't feel like he's as consistent as he should be. Yeah, he has a lot of talent. He's really good at safety. But there's also games where you're looking at it going, is this the same guy we've been watching all year? I personally am not that worried about him.
I mean, it's Tyrann Mathieu, and then what else? I mean, they had a couple of decent safeties that played okay with young guys last year. Daniel Sorensen doesn't really scare you as far as overall talent, just his insider knowledge somehow of the Chargers with his brother Brad Sorensen playing on the team. But Tyrann Mathieu, the one thing that stuck out to me when I was looking at what he did last year, in a bounce back year, honestly, with the Texans, signed that one-year prove-it deal, and he proved it. And that's why he got that money. The biggest thing for me, guys, is just the versatility. This guy lines up all over the field. He played a ton of different positions last year. Linebacker, free safety, strong safety, nickel corner, corner. He's played everything for that team. So he's definitely a very versatile guy that can move all around the defense. And since the Chiefs got rid of Bob Sutton, I'm sure they think the new coaching staff will be able to find better ways to use Tyrann Mathieu than the guys they had there running it before. But let's talk about, like you said, John, the guys that left the Chiefs or still remained unsigned at this point. And it's a lot of names. I'll go over them quickly. Orlando Scandrick, Dee Ford, who had 13 sacks last year. Justin Houston, a guy that's always terrorized the Chargers. Eric Berry, Steven Nelson, Chris Conley, Mitch Morse, and Spencer Ware. So that's a lot. Yes, and Kareem Hunt. They technically did cut him last season, but yes, that is a big loss for them. Damian Williams came in and had a great season and really, you know, picked up the slack where he left off, and it kind of made you forget that Kareem Hunt was there. But Kareem Hunt is definitely a big loss. You always think that Andy Reid's going to be able to find that production from a running back, though. We even saw some good years out of Spencer Ware, whereas we've never really seen anything else from him otherwise for a guy who was undrafted. So let's talk about the big ones, though, David. I mean, the Chiefs lost a ton of pass rush in this offseason. They lost Dee Ford, 13 sacks, and then Justin Houston, who even last year had an 85.7 overall Pro Football Focus grade and landed number 80 on their top 101 players.
Yeah, for a defense that really was universally known as the worst in the NFL, to lose two of their premier pass rushers, that has got to be catastrophic. I mean, you can't just find pass rushers and sign them off the street. That doesn't work that way.
Yeah,
and
ask so the Raiders.
Exactly. So you let those two guys go, where are you going to find that production? You hope you're going to find it in the draft, but you might get one decent rookie pass rusher. But to replace both those guys, I don't know, man. Not really my favorite move by them.
Yeah, and I understand the Dee Ford move as far as letting him go, because people forget that before his 13-sack season in 2017, he had 2 sacks. He had 10 the year before that, but he's been a very up-and-down player and didn't really show that game-breaking talent until this last season. Steven Nelson was actually a pretty good corner considering how bad their defense was last year, and Mitch Morris has been one of the most consistent centers in the league over the last 4 seasons. So I think they definitely lost a lot. Breland Speaks and Alex Okafor are not going to bring you that pass rush, but they do have Chris Jones still in the middle, who was an absolute menace, had a sack in 9 or 10 straight games last season, and really scares you as a Charger fan with the struggling parts of their interior offensive line. But John, what stands out to you as far as the pieces that the Chiefs lost this offseason?
Without a doubt, Justin Houston. He's now with the Colts. That was a menace of its own. And then when he had Chris Jones, or even back when he had Tom Mahal-Lee on the other side, which is basically the Chiefs version of Bosa and Ingram, he was always a menace, and you always had to account for him. And sometimes you needed two guys to do that, and that freed up somebody else. And Andy Reid loves the blitz. He loves to figure out a way to get a safety or a linebacker in there, and a guy like Justin Houston helps with that because of the double team. And without him now, I'm wondering how much of that blitzing is going to be effective. Okafor is something that Andy Reid likes. That's the kind of guy that Andy Reid likes to have on the team, which is why I think he's going to be really effective. But I don't think it's going to create the same exact results Justin Houston did.
Yeah, and I do want to mention that the Locked On Chiefs have been, you know, banging down the doors and saying, listen, this was a scheme problem. It was not a talent problem, which makes sense with the guys that you see on their team. There was some talent there, but they could not be more adamant that the Chiefs are going to be better defensively than they were last year. They said that it was all aggression last year, which accounts for the number of sacks that they put up and the insane sack total they had from those guys on the defensive line. But you're losing Justin Houston and Dee Ford. That's definitely a blow. I do think the scheme change is going to help them because, hey, where do you go from 31st ranked defense in the league? I mean, it almost has to be better by default. But I think that they absolutely lost a lot of talent this offseason. And we didn't even mention the fact that Tyreek Hill's status is very up in the air right now. He has legal investigations going on. You can Google it. We do not have time for it, but he has some very serious allegations against him. And by some of the other moves the Chiefs have made as far as bringing in wide receivers and looking for wide receivers, it kind of shows you they're scared of what the verdict might be on that. So we still have to wait and see with that. But
and they also re-signed Anthony Sherman. So be scared, Charger linebackers. You might get beat again.
Well, as far as that goes, Kyle Emanuel still hasn't been re-signed to the Chargers yet. So there's still hope that he's not going to get beat on a wheel route to the end zone and just look like an absolute fool. But I will ask the same question that we have at the end of the last 2 segments. I'll start with you, David. Did the Chiefs get better this offseason so far?
No, not at all. I think they got a lot worse. I mentioned before, you cannot just come up with pass rush out of thin air. They lost 2 really good ones, at least good ones according to last year's stats. And So just by that, by default, they definitely got worse.
I think that they lost, you know, a few Pro Bowlers, and it's hard to really count the loss of Eric Berry against them just because he hasn't really played the last few seasons. So it's hard to say how much of an impact that's going to have because, you know, they didn't really have him at his best or even at all due to injuries. So it's hard to say that they're, you know, much worse for not having him. But the rest of those guys, I mean, especially Mitch Morse and Steven Nelson, yes, they signed Bashaud Breeland, who had a couple of decent seasons, but it's never been really good. He's usually about average. And you can kind of cancel that out with the loss of Steven Nelson. It's hard to see them being much better. I do not think as a roster they got better this offseason. John, would you disagree with our opinion that they got worse?
I wouldn't say they got worse. They definitely didn't get better, but I like that I'm not the only person that thinks that the Chiefs are making this new scheme, as you mentioned from the Locked On Chiefs podcast. I'm thinking something's brewing here. I'm really interested to see the Chiefs draft. I'm going to be watching that really close. I think they're going to give their defense a new look. And even though right now it doesn't look like they're getting better, I think they're going to have a whole new look on defense that's going to probably give the Chargers some fifth. And it probably won't be a top 10 defense, but it could probably definitely be somewhere around the top 15.
Which would be, I mean, an absolutely huge jump for them. And if you pair that with the offense that they have, that's really scary. I mean, even with everything being said, I don't think that it makes you feel any better as a Charger fan because, hey, the one thing we haven't talked about is I don't know if the Chargers got that much better this offseason so far either. So it's not as if the Chargers made huge strides and we're just bashing the rest of these teams for their moves. But at the same time, I mean, it just doesn't seem like they got much better from the additions that they brought in, considering and counterbalancing that with the guys that they lost. But we are going to start ramping up our draft coverage coming up in the next shows. That's going to do it for today's show. I still think it's a two-horse race in the AFC West so far with the additions that we've seen. But we will talk to you guys next time. Make sure to go follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC. Make sure to like the Facebook page, Locked On Chargers, and make sure to subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast from, whether it's Himalaya, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora. You can find us on all of those and make sure you subscribe and leave us a review. We would really appreciate that. And if you want to get your voice on the show, make sure to call the Locked On Chargers voicemail line at 323-524-7924. We haven't had one in a while, but if you call or leave a text, we will play your voice or your message on the show. We always do. And, of course, the easiest way to listen to the Locked On Chargers podcast is by getting in your car and telling your smart assistant, play podcast Locked On Chargers. It's the best way to do it, and you can listen to the show on your way to work. But we will talk to you guys next time. It's time to get excited for the draft. Take it easy and go Bolts.